Thank you for being here again. We were supposed to have rain. We got that early in the morning. We got it out of the way, so we're done for the end of the year, okay? That was El Nino. We get an inch of rain instead of half an inch. James chapter 1. Of course, we're still in the beginning of the year talking about the Bible as we are in our theme for the year, Explore the Book. And I hope that you've been doing that. I hope you've been faithful in reading your Bible, your goal to get through it this year. But not just that, to make sure you're doing it each and every day. I'm not exaggerating when I say, and you say it all the time. I know, and I'll probably stop sometime soon, but I'm not going to stop now. 90 to 95% of your problems would disappear if you really got into God's Word every single day and you were faithful to it. I'm just telling you. You'd be faithful to church too, by the way. Most of the problems we have is because we don't know anything about the Bible. We're not faithful to the Bible. We're missing out on the power that God has for our lives. We stay away from church. We're missing out on the encouragement and the help of God's people. And I'm just telling you, most of those problems will go away. And the problems we have to deal with that are outside of our control, we'd be able to deal with them. And so I encourage you to get into the Bible and let the Bible get into you. James chapter 1. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. James chapter 1, verse 19, we'll read verses 19 to 25. We'll pray, and we will let you be seated. Amen. Except for you, Raul, you have to stand. James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Raul, thinking about you there, buddy. Slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightforward forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And let's pray. Father, I pray you bless us this morning in the brief time we have together. Help us, Lord, to understand the importance of learning so we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we've been talking much about the Bible, the Word of God, and its importance in our life. It's more than just something we carry as Christians. It's really the manual for living this life and the manual for living spiritually on this earth. The sad thing is, most Christians that say they believe the Bible know very little about it. I remember the very early days of the church, we were a Cambodian church. We were reaching primarily Cambodians, and we in their very early days. And so every Saturday, I would take a group of the Cambodians, the teenagers out. We would go out together, and we'd go out and invite people to church, and I'd have usually a little activity with them. But I remember one time, we were out with them, and a lot of these kids were kids that just, you know, I'm like, well, you know, they just came over from Cambodia. They're still trying to get it, and they're a little bit, you know, they're not getting it as fast as I would like them to. And it's like, you know, I'll be patient with them. And I remember we were out one Saturday, and we met some Jehovah's Witnesses. And they had some Cambodian teenagers with them. And so I started talking to them, and this Cambodian teenage girl started telling me exactly what we believe. She was just like, I know what you guys believe. You believe this, this, and this. Now, we talked for a while. I went back and I got on our teenagers. I said, listen, that girl, you can learn the Bible. There's no excuse for that. Let's learn what God says. Let's not just carry our Bibles. Let's know what they mean. Let's know what they're saying to our life. We've been encouraging you. There are many people who really, they'll say to themselves, man, I need to get in Bible. I need God's word, and I need it every single day. They know it's necessary. But as life goes on, they still don't do it. It one day turns to 2 days. 2 days turns to 10 days. 10 days turn to 10 years before you know it. We need to get in God's word. This morning, we're going to look at a very familiar section of scripture. It talks about a very practical aspect for us. One of the first books I started getting into as a brand new Christian, it's because when I first started going to church for the first time on Wednesday nights, our pastor was teaching the book of James. And so I got into that right away. James is a very, it's all the Bible's good. You know, the Bible's good. It's all good. But for me, early on, the book of James was very good and very practical. And we're going to come to a very practical section of verses this morning. The topic is the Word of God. James is letting us in on foundational choice we all need to make when it comes to God's Word and how much influence God's Word will really have on our life. It's a very personal matter, for whatever amount of effect the Bible has on us is due to how much effect we let the Bible have on us. You know, I'm reading my Bible. It's not doing anything for me. Let me explain this. It's not the Bible's fault. If the Bible has no effect in your life, it's not because the Bible's lost its power. It's because we're not allowing the Word of God to take root, to have effect in our life. There are two problems with God's truth as found in the Bible. The first problem is many people just don't want to hear it, right? Many years ago when I was in Bible college, we had a bus route. I had a bus route, and I had a couple kids that came. Yang and Ming or something like that. And the one kid, I'm not saying he was the devil, but they were related somehow, I'm pretty sure. This kid would always not be listening and doing things. And so I went up to him. I said, I think it was Yang or Ming, one of them. I said, hey, whenever I would go up to him to start talking to him to get him to behave, here's what he would do. He would see me coming. He would just go, ah. I'm like, hey, listen to me. Ah. Hey. I'm like, you know, forget it. Just don't stab anybody, okay? You know what he was doing? I don't want to hear you. I'm not listening. That's how most people are. Most people in this world, they don't want to hear what God has to say. It's not even, as the guy said, not on your radar. No, it's not on our radar. We don't want to hear it. Hosea 4:6, talking to the people of Israel, said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. We don't want to hear it. So many people are like that. Willfully ignorant. Benjamin Franklin said this about being willfully ignorant. We are all born ignorant, but one must work hard to remain stupid. Now, I'm not saying you ought to say stupid. I didn't say stupid. He did. I accidentally said that in church the other day, and my granddaughter said, hey, Grandpa said stupid. I can say stupid. It's like, no, I was quoting someone else. Explain that to her. He also said, being ignorant is not so much a shame as being unwilling to learn. People want to hide the truth. Remember years ago, our city was going to get together and be against the Defense of Marriage Act. So a bunch of us went down there to voice our opinion. We flooded the city council. There was like 400 of us, and there was like four people for it. It just so happens we found out on accident. So we all went down there to voice our concern. But I just remember the people on the council, they were all talking about what they were going to do. And I remember one of the council members basically got up and said, what we believe as Christians is nothing more than superstition. What she said. Another one who says she's a Christian, said, I'm a Christian. She basically said, I'm a Christian, but I can't vote that way. We just don't want to hear the truth. That's what that's all about. People don't want to hear it. But the second problem to me is a worse one. We wouldn't think it is. It's hearing the truth and doing nothing with it. That's a bigger problem. Yep. See, the people that don't want to hear the truth, those are typically not Christians. Those are people that typically they understand, they just don't want to have anything to do with it. But the people that hear the truth and don't do anything with it, those are Christians. And if you hear it and you don't do anything with it, what's the difference? As Brother Esposito used to say, not much. Not much difference. James makes it very clear in verse 22. But be ye hearers of the doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I heard a man preach one time. He had a guest evangelist preaching his church. As they were walking out, he pointed to the doors that lead outside and said, "Oh, these are the erasers. I call these the erasers." He goes, "What, the doors?" He goes, "No, those are erasers." He goes, "What do you mean like by that?" He goes, "It just seems after a church service, when someone, as they're walking through the door, it's erasing everything they just heard." I hope that's not true in our life. We want to be hearers of the word, not hearers only. In these verses, James tells us if we're going to be like that, here are some things we need to consider. Here are some choices we have. Verse 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." See, we have a choice. Are we going to hear what God says, or are we going to express what we think? Isn't that how we are? We hear, but we only hear so we can tell you what we think. He says swift to hear. That means right away. Just I'm listening because I want to do it. When we were at church, do we have a desire to hear something from God, or are we just fulfilling a duty? You know, most, it's just like, you know what? Bang, checked it off today. And I know, I think we give out the church checklist. Come to church every, I'm all for to flourish. Coming to all the services. By the way, I don't think we need less church services. I think we need more. I think it's a good idea, if you're new, I'm not trying to blow you out of the water. I think it's a good idea to come to as many church services as you can. And it's a little bit dangerous when some of us, that maybe we're coming to all the services and we start to slip back. Listen, we don't need less, we need more. One of the things that helped me the most as a new Christian is when I said, "I don't know what to. I don't know. I don't even know what it means to be a Christian." But I knew what it meant. What it means to be a good Christian. But I know one thing: I'm just going to come to all the church services. That's where I learned it all. But I hope we're not just checking off a list. We need to learn what God is telling us. Communication is everywhere. You know. Now it used to be. It used to be back in the days before cell phones, and, you know, when we say that, it's like, man, is that when you guys rode dinosaurs? No, we're not that old. It used to be a time there was no instant communication. You know, people used to have to write letters to each other. You say, what's that? That's when, you know, we used to get this little thing. It was called a pencil. And so if you were courting someone, you know, you didn't get that. You couldn't just text them all the time. By the way, it's probably not good for relationships to get started anyhow. You can't grow into a relationship. You kind of jump feet first. But you write that letter. "Dear so-and-so, I was just thinking about you. Your hair flows like, you know, a horse's tail." I don't know, something. That's probably not very romantic, right? I remember I shouldn't have said what I was courting my wife and they used to have the pastor would go in there and have a meeting with all the college girls, and you could send a love letter and he would read it to your girl in front of all the other girls. So I thought, I'm gonna do that. So I wrote some ridiculous mushy letter. You know, your eyes are the color of of the moons of Oron. I don't know. Your hair flows like a horse's mane. All this gushy stuff. And so he gets the letter, and Alma, Roja, stand up. And he's reading her the letter and all this mushy stuff. And at the end, I sign somebody else's name. My wife's friends are saying, "Aren't you engaged to Steve?" So that's how that works. But, you know, you'd write that love letter, and, man, you couldn't wait to get you, and that was a big deal, you know, and you got a letter, and, like, what is she trying to tell me, and what's all, and you feel so good. You wanted to hear from them. Boy, God's word ought to be like a love letter to us. We ought to want to hear what God says each and every day. And I know, I'm like you, some days you get up, and maybe the coffee's not, I don't know what it is, and maybe it takes a few minutes to warm up and to get into the word of God, and we have to get started, maybe we don't feel like it, but man, once you get into it, do you have a desire to hear what it's saying? Amen. He says, be swift to hear. But see, here's where we are. He says, be slow to speak. What does that mean? Chuck your thoughts. Okay, if you take in the context down there, it's like, listen, we always want to hear, we hear, but we're more immersed in what we think. One thing you're going to find out is this: as you start understanding what God is saying, you're going to understand that what you're thinking is wrong. It changes it. Slow to speak. You know, all these dumb talk shows, every once again, well, you know, I just think, la-di-da. You know, there's certain blogs I'll read, Christian ones, maybe some leadership ones, and I don't do this thing, but a lot of them at the end, they have little, you can share your thoughts. I don't read that part. I'm just going to read and see what this guy says. If there's something good there, I'll take it. I don't care. I don't want to get in the debate afterwards. But that's what we want to do. You know, God, well, you know, I think that, listen, I need to chuck what I think if God's already said it. I don't know how many times a new Christian, I'd read something or hear it, I'm like, what? That's in the Bible? Are you kidding me? Because it went totally contrary to how I lived. But I had a decision to make. Am I going to listen or am I going to do my own thing? It's like, you know what? I shouldn't say this. You're going to start being critical. Many years ago, some guy was preaching somewhere, and he gave this thought. I'd never heard the thought. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm for what the guy's saying. I just don't believe that. And he goes, hey, turn to this verse. And I didn't say it out loud, but I'm thinking, I just don't know if that's really, you know, it wasn't a big deal like the blood of Christ. It was just some little thought he threw out there. I'm like, I don't know if that's really. And he said, turn to this verse. And sure enough, Brother Mejia, he read the verse, and it's exactly what he said. And I'm like, let me check that one again. I'm like, he's right. Discussion over. God says it. That's it. Okay? You say, well, I kind of thought that was a little different. No, it was right there. So my thought is out the window. Yep. That's not how we are so often, is it? I like the verses in Isaiah. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Yeah. Aren't you glad about that? Yeah. You know, look, God debating with us is like debating with like a two-year-old. Sitting there talking to my granddaughter, then she's telling me something. We're going back and forth. It's like, it doesn't even make sense. She's two. What didn't make sense? She actually out-debated me. But it's like, you know, I'm not going to she can't comprehend half of the things going on. Here we are debating with God. God's like, listen, your thoughts are nowhere near what my thoughts are. So you know what the best thing to do is? Go with God's thoughts. Because his thoughts are way higher than ours. Then he also tells us, he says at the end of verse 19, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Another choice we have is to act or react. You say, what does anger have to do with obeying the Bible? A lot. Yep. We've been teaching through Proverbs for probably a year and a half now. And probably the one subject I got the most response personally from people is the 5 or 6 weeks we did on anger. Why? Because we all struggle with it, amen? It's like, oh, man, that's really hit me. And like, brother, duh. You got your speakers? I got 3 pointed right at me. Yeah. Because anger will keep us from listening to God. People that are making their decisions based on anger, they're reacting. It just comes their way, and I don't care. But people that don't allow anger to make their decisions, they're not just reacting, they're acting. They're making a decision based on how they're going to act. Listen, if you have trouble with anger and it consumes your life, you have a lack of self-control. And I guarantee you, you're not going to do what that book says. That's why it says it works not the righteousness of God. Anger never leads you to do something that's right. You say, well, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So see, you can still. I know, because we're not reacting, we're acting the way God would want us to do because we're controlling it. You got an anger problem, we need to work on that. Because you're never going to follow God correctly if you don't. Verse number 21. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Another decision we have, are we going to receive or reject? You see, do you understand if we're going to receive what God's word says and not reject it, then there are some things in our life we have to reject first. That's what he's saying here. Look at the words again. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. The filthiness is a word they would use like someone having wax in their ears, something that would keep them from hearing. And superfluity of naughtiness. That means superfluity is, it means overflowing. Like weeds, where the picture would be like weeds overflowing and taking a garden. You see, if we are allowing sin or some sinful activities to dominate our life, it's going to overflow our life, and God's truth and sin cannot peacefully coexist. Something's got to go. You know what's got to go? The sin's got to go. We have to lay that apart. We have to say, listen, what is keeping me from obeying God's word? What sin or whatever it is that's dominating my life that needs to go? What is the weed you need to pull? I had so many issues in my life as a new Christian, but once I started going to church and getting the Bible, I realized, listen, those things are going to go. I've mentioned so many times, I love rock music. I had, not CDs, they were albums, hundreds of them. And I was so naive, and I'd read my Bible, I'd go to church, and I'd come home, I listen to my music. And man, it didn't take long. It's like, listen, that is not compatible with what I'm reading. It's not working. Something's got to go. So, I don't know, it was a Tuesday night with a trash night. I got all my albums. I threw them in the garbage. Took them out and said the trash man can have them. They should have had a yard sale. Why? Put that garbage in somebody else's hands? I realized, listen, that is, I got to make a choice here. That is going to stop me from listening to God. I better get rid of it. Think with me for a minute. Is there something in your life? You say, I'm a newer Christian, I've been coming, and I want to grow. Listen, is there something in your life that comes to your mind that you know is not compatible with this word? It's got to go.
Yes, sir.
It's got to go. Remember Pastor Esposito used to talk about the girlfriend he had. She had to go. By the way, I knew her. She should have went a long time ago. He was a lot more patient than I ever would have been. Like, man, just have her walk behind my car when I'm backing up. I'll handle that for you. Listen, she would have taken him down. But whatever it is, we all have our when we come into Christianity, we all have our sins. We all have that thing that if we're not careful, it'll choke out the truth of God's word.
Right.
You say, how do I know what it is? What comes to your mind? You see, if we're saved, we have the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. And when something like that is asked or you're reading your Bible, there's something that comes to the forefront of your mind. The Spirit of God is bringing it to your mind to say, deal with it. If we don't, eventually the Word of God goes. The weeds overtake. You want to have a nice garden? Get rid of the weeds. Why? How come the weeds will grow and you can't get grass to grow, but the weeds will grow easily? Takes a little more effort, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What is it in your life that God's saying, you need to deal with that because you can't receive my word? But then he tells us, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. What is engrafted? Engrafted is a picture I mentioned. It's because my sister-in-law used to do this. And I don't know why they do it. I don't know the reason. They'll take a branch off one tree, and they will attach it to another tree trunk in such a way that it'll start growing with that tree. That tree branch, which was foreign to that tree trunk, is now a part of that tree. It's functioning. It's a member. It's just connected. God says we're supposed to receive with meekness the engrafted word. In other words, God's word and his truth is not just something we've read in the Bible. It's not just something we've heard in church. It is now a part of how I live. It is an everyday part of my life. Listen, God's word shouldn't be some foreign entity. It shouldn't be some foreign thing we're trying to get in your, no, it ought to become a part of who you are. You got to receive it with meekness. You can't fight it. And if you're letting the weeds come in, it's never going to happen. And then the ultimate choice is verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. To obey or to deceive. What do we mean by that? How can we be a doer of the word, not hearers only? We deceive ourselves. Here's where most people stop. And if you're careful, you can do this even if you're reading your Bible. I read my 3 chapters today. I'm done. And by the way, I'm a checklist person. Anybody else like that? Man, if we're going to do anything, it's like, hey, we ought to do this in the church. Let's start this project. You know what I do? I sit down and I plan it out. That's what I do. I want a checklist. Here's everything we got to do. Here's who's involved. I'm writing it down. I want every single step. Let's go. And I, you know what? Maybe I'm weird. I like to check it off. I've got that done. Say, you're weird. I know. You could ask my wife. She would have told you that a long time ago. And you know what? I keep my Bible reading schedule, and I mark it off every day. You say, that's weird. I know it's weird. I got worse issues than that, but I'm going to tell you about those. I like that sense of accomplishment. Okay. And listen, so there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't just want to read my Bible to say, done today. What did God say? Did I get anything out of that? That's why we've been doing this, you guys, people call it, I journal. Listen, you know what journal is? That's a diary for men. I don't do diaries. But all our family, we all have the books, and so every day I read, and then I'm going to write down a thought I learned from my scripture reading that day. Causes me to think about it, okay? That's what I want to do. I just don't want a checklist. I want to be a hearer for a reason so that I can be a doer. Because what happens if all we are is a hearer and we never seek to do what we're hearing, we're deceiving ourselves. You know what deceiving means? You're lying to yourself. Hey, I'm a good Christian. I cracked my Bible open today. That doesn't mean anything. Now, that's the start. I'm not contradicting myself. But the reason we're reading is to learn what God says so we can do what he says. The reason we come to church is so we can say, I saw my homie today. I saw my friend. I had coffee and donuts. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But we're coming. What did God talk to me about? Some of you new say, what happens in the service? How come people come down here and pray? Because if God talks to you about something in the service specifically, you just come down and say, Lord, thank you for that. And I want to work on that in my life. I want to make it a part of my life. Why? We don't want to just be hearers. Well, the words came in my ears. I know. And they rattled around in empty space and they came out the other one. Being kind. I was talking about you, Raul. Thanks. No. I don't want to deceive myself. By the way, it's interesting. That word hearer would be the word where we would get like audit. You know, like in college, you can take classes and you can audit them. You know what audit means? Audit means you don't have to pay as much for the class, amen, but you don't get any credit for it. You're allowed to go to the class. You can hear all the material. You're not tested over it. You don't have to do any outside assignments, and you get no credit. You're just hearing it. That's how most Christians are. We audit Christianity. I'm just hearing it. I'm not going to pass any tests. I'm not going to do any outside assignments. I just heard it today. I mean, I was present. I've had auditors in my classes I've taught. I don't take attendance for them because they don't have to show up. I care about them, but I don't care because in my notes because I'm not giving them a grade. Let's not be Christian auditors. Let's hear what God says. I don't want to deceive myself. And I'll be honest, over the course of my life, there's been times I've deceived myself, but God got a hold of me. Look at verse 23. He gives us a picture of how we either remember or forget. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. It's like looking in a mirror. For some of us, that's a little more pleasant than others, okay? For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I guarantee you, every single one of you this morning, although looking at a few of you, I might think otherwise, every single one of us this morning got in front of the mirror as we were getting ready to make sure everything was going on, okay? I probably spend about 20 minutes on my hair every single morning. I sit there and cry that it's gone. Okay, thank you. But look at you look in the mirror, it's like, oh, wait a minute, there's something that needs to be fixed. For those of you that do have hair, God pity you. For those of you that do have hair, you're like, is it, if you look and say, oh, that hair's out of place. What do? You fix it, right? But what he's saying here is like someone look in the mirror and say, uh-oh, that needs to be fixed. And as soon as you leave the mirror, you forget all about it and you don't do anything about it. See, so many of us, we sit in church sometimes and we hear a message and it's like, that was good for me. I got to do something about it. As soon as we get out the erasers, it's like, well, what's for lunch? By the way, everybody's wondering about that hamburger place I talked about last week, right? Now, I preached myself. Sunday night, everybody was scattered eating somewhere. It was just me and the girls. I'm like, we're going back to that place tonight. And it was still good. Okay, it was dynamic. Yeah, I'll let you know where it is later. But, you know, and it's nothing wrong with eating. But if God spoke to you about something, let's not forget about it. If God said, you need to change that in your life, are you going to change it? Yeah, I heard it. I'm glad you heard it. But what are you going to do with it? Don't forget. No one would look in a mirror and see something that's amiss. And then verse 25, and we're done. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the man shall be blessed in his deed. By the way, the look he's talking about there isn't a quick glance. It's a meaningful look. It's looking to see something. We look in the Bible to see something. Do we come to church and say, you know, I hope there's something that'll encourage me? You know, Thursday night, Brother Eddie Ray was here. That encouraged me. That was great. That was very dynamic. That's what we're here for. Encourage. To get something out of what is going on. That's why we crack open our Bibles. We continue therein. By the way, if you're a new Christian, don't get frustrated with yourself. You know, I weary sometimes, and I appreciate it. I was a little bit like this. Once I got on board, it's like, let's go. And I mean, I was changing. It was going. A lot of times people are like that. They come to church, they're like, one time, I love this church. I'm going to be a member. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. In my mind, I think, I'll never see you again. It's so emotional. And some people say that, and they do come back. I'm okay with that. But you know that person that they don't say much, they every week, faithful. Continue. You're not going to be blessed by like, 1 week I'm up, the next week I'm down. Let's be faithful. You know what? If there was one quality I could get, I could have you to be faithful. Let's be faithful. Faithful to God's word. Just get in there and do it. Faithful to do the things you're supposed to do. Faithful to church. Continuous. You know, I tried that Christianity thing and it didn't work for me. Well, how long did you try it for? You see, you don't try it. It's who you are. It's like, well, I tried that being a human being thing and it didn't work for me. By the way, for some of you, it's not working for you either. I didn't try being a human being. I was born and that's what I am. I got saved and guess what? I'm a Christian. If it's not working for me, it's not because it doesn't work. It's because I don't work.
That's right. Amen.
I don't know what that meant, but it sounded pretty good.
Oh, that was good.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm just glad you're awake. Being not a forgetful hearer, as we mentioned, but a doer of the work. I'll say this and we're done. It takes effort. And he says, that man shall be blessed. Oh, I want to be blessed. Hang tight, cowboy, in his deed. Okay, you got to do something. God's not blessing me. What are you doing about it? What are you doing to be blessed? You know what? I quit praying eons ago for God to bless America. Now, if we sing it, I sing it, and I want it to happen, but I don't pray for God to bless America because he can't in our current state. If you want to pray that one day America becomes blessable again. Same thing's true with us. I want to be blessed, Lord. And by the way, God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to have joy. But it comes in doing what we're supposed to do. And so I encourage you this morning. Let's not just deceive ourselves by saying, I came to church. I actually cracked my Bible open this week. Let me ask you something. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? You say, well, am I supposed to always be changing? Yes. Unless you're perfect. Well, I'm perfect. Let me ask your wife. We'll get the real story. Let's all stand together this morning.